Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the History Unplugged podcast, the unscripted show that celebrates unsung heroes, myth busts historical lies, and rediscovers the forgotten stories that changed our world. I'm your host, Scott Rank. Hello, welcome to one of these in-between episodes where I answer any question that you have for me about history. This question is, can you tell me about how Texas almost became a German state? Very interesting question. Well, we all know of the Republic of Texas, Texas as a sovereign nation before it joined the Union. Texas has had a very interesting history. If you are aware of Six Flags, it's the theme park in the United States. The reason it's called that is because it has to do with Texas, of having six sovereign flags flying over it, six sovereign nations who've claimed it for their own. That would be Spain, France, the Republic of Texas, England, the United States, and I'll be honest with you, I'm forgetting the fifth one, but you get the point. Well, Texas almost became a German state. I'd like to thank Gian Salas from Quora for helping me out with this answer. So how did it almost become a German state? The Society for the Protection of German Immigrants in Texas, or the, was a colonial initiative that was made in Germany, which sought to create a German state on Texan soil. The Germans in charge of this operation planned to organize a mass immigration movement, which could then colonize the state. By 1853, there were more than 20,000 inhabitants from Germany in Texas, or what they were planning to call New Germany. But their objective soon failed due to a massive land loss and a lack of business. Now, this isn't such a cockamamie scheme. There were German enclaves all over Europe, ethnic Germans in Poland, in the Czech Republic, in Lithuania, into parts of what we call Russia. So enclaves of people with German identity who have some sort of affinity to the homeland really make sense in a historical context. Now, this colonial initiative was started in 1842. The idea was to purchase the land for the immigrants of the Society for the Protection of German Immigrants in Texas by securing land grants from the Republic of Texas or purchasing outright. And keep in mind that the U.S. government at this time was engaged in the Homestead Act, where it gave free land to people who settled it for 7 years. So many places in the continental United States were happy to give land to people who would cultivate it because the U.S. was quite empty at this time, and it wanted to establish a human footprint all over its land to protect colonists or land-grabbing or foreign nations trying to intervene. On January 9th, 1843, Count Ludwig Joseph von Buswaldick bought over 4,000 acres in the Nassau Plantation in Fayette County, Texas, for 75 cents an acre, and named it for the Duke of Nassau. 25 slaves were brought to work the property, which was considered the primary base for arriving German immigrants. However, in 1853, due to a large amount of debt, the project ended its colonization campaign in Texas. The first 200 families who colonized received $12,000 in money, livestock, equipment, and provisions for a year, and after the first year, they were expected to support themselves. Well, the colonies failed after the initial funding expired, and due to conflict of structure and authorities, it just didn't work out. So some members moved to other settlements in Texas, or just over the years assimilated into American society. Others moved elsewhere, or others returned to Germany. Well, the experiment didn't work, but the German cultural heritage of Texas still remains. After English, Mexican-Americans, and African-Americans, The ethnic group with the largest impact on Texas has been Germans. According to a 1930 U.S. Census Bureau, people born in Germany or whose parents were born there made up 36% of foreign Caucasians in Texas. The German language was widely used in certain areas, especially central Texas, and really only began to fade from use in the 1970s. Some say that there was a kind of German-Texan dialect that developed in the state. Now, a lot of this German identity was tamped down in the period of the Great War, when it wasn't fashionable to flaunt German culture, and especially in World War II as well. Not until the 50s and early 1960s did German Texans boldly celebrate their heritage with the emergence of Oktoberfest in different cities and towns in the state. So anyway, even though the project failed, the imprint of Germany on Texas lives on. Well, thanks for the question. If you would like to submit one to me, you can go to historyunplugpodcast.com, find instructions there, and I will be glad to answer your question. Thanks for listening to the History Unplugged podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get your daily dose of all things history-related, from ancient Greece to the Cold War. You can do that by going to historyonthenet.com/subscribe. Speaking of History on the Net, if you want to dive deeper, go to our site historyonthenet.com, and there you'll find blog posts, book reviews, and all of our other podcast episodes. Plus, don't forget to rate and review this podcast so we can bring you the best daily history content possible. We'll see you next time at the History Unplugged podcast.
After Teddy Roosevelt's failed third-party presidential run, he thought that he would reassemble the Rough Riders for a final charge against the Germans in World War I by launching a cavalry attack against 50-caliber machine guns. Here's an interview with Bill Hazelgrove to look at this incredible story.
Teddy Roosevelt was one of these people who seemed indestructible. And that's why I think a lot of Americans wanted him to go, because in a way, he was their Superman.
To listen to this full interview, check out the History Unplugged podcast on the podcast player of your choice.
This episode is brought to you by Calitrin. Text the word UNPLUGGED to 30605, and I'll send you a link to a wonderful product that can help you finally succeed in shedding that extra weight. I took Calitrin for several weeks last year, and I felt great in several ways. I felt stronger, my workouts felt easier, I slept better, I was noticeably trimmer, there was no downside. Text the word UNPLUGGED to 30605 right now to see this week's special offer on Calitrin. Calitrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calitrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calitrin has an 86% success rate with their 90-day supply, and this week, take advantage of my special offer. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free plus free shipping. Ordering is easy. Just text the word UNPLUGGED to 30605 and I'll send you a link to the special offer. Again, text UNPLUGGED to 30605.